You're listening to the official podcast of United Recovery Project, the number one luxury rehab center based in South Florida. If you or someone you know is drowning in the sea of addiction, don't worry. We've got your life vest right here. Hey guys, it is so great to be speaking with you again. And welcome to episode 7 of the URP podcast, one simple yet powerful brain hack for reducing urges during recovery. I'm sure that everyone listening right now is well aware of the times that we're in. We are dealing with the pandemic, the worldwide pandemic of COVID-19. The coronavirus has been spreading, and as a result, it's got all of us cooped up in our houses. We are unable to engage in our normal way of life, and so we really have to hunker down and be aware of the different emotions and thoughts that we're feeling inwardly, because this is a difficult time. I mean, I can speak for myself and say that being in this time where I'm not able to just go out and engage with my friends, I'm not able to go out and do the normal things I do, even something as simple as going and sitting down at Starbucks to have a cup of coffee. You know, these are things we take for granted, but they really do have a longitudinal effect on us over time when we're unable to do those things that we're used to. And so for people in recovery, for people who have dealt with drug addiction and substance abuse, we're very, very aware of the connection between our well-being and our emotions. I mean, anyone who's been addicted to a particular substance knows what it's like when you feel that craving, when you feel that visceral urge that, I need to use, or, I need that drink. It feels overwhelming. It takes over our entire awareness because it can be so powerful. And so that being the case, we have this very deep relationship and connection with our emotions. And so during a time like this, where we are all quarantined, self-quarantined within our homes as a result of COVID-19, we are facing those very emotions that for many people may have led them to use in the past. And so this is a time where we need to be even more hypervigilant, to be aware of, number one, what are the emotions and thoughts that I'm entertaining within my mind? Are they negative? Are they the type of thoughts and emotions that lead to use, that lead to falling back into addiction or relapsing? Because we don't want that. Number two, what are the triggers in my environment that could be an issue for me, that could be bringing up any of those types of thoughts or emotions? But then number three, what types of tools and tricks do I have in my disposal that can help me to stay on the straight and narrow? And if you're someone who's in active addiction and you're trying to get clean, and maybe you're in a situation where you're unable to come to a beautiful luxury rehab center like URP, maybe you're someone who doesn't have a job, who doesn't have insurance, and you're just saying, hey, right now I don't have any other choice other than the nonprofit groups and organizations within my general vicinity, but I still want to know any type of tools I can use to help me stop using. This is for you as well. This is also something that we need to take into account, all three of those steps. And so what we're going to be talking about today is one simple but powerful brain hack that we can all use that will actually help to reduce the urges associated with using. Now, I know that can seem crazy to many people because we all know how intense those urges can be. They can feel so all-encompassing, as I stated, so it's as if, what the hell can help me with this? Well, as you've heard me say, if you've heard other episodes, if you've listened to other episodes of the URP podcast, you guys have heard me talk about the fact that our mind really is this insane ball of chemistry, that when we understand our brain chemistry and the way things work relating to addiction, just tweaking some of the smallest nuances can make such a difference in our lives. You know, and what we're going to be talking about today is the people and information that we surround ourselves with on a daily basis. Now, there is this cliche topic that we've heard millions of times where they say that the top 5 people that you spend the most time with are a reflection of who you are or who you're becoming. That's very much true, but here's the reason why. You see, we have these things called mirror neurons that allow us to experience empathy, but they also allow us to mirror and internalize the behaviors of the people around us. So let's say, for example, if you have a group of really close friends that you hang out with often, you may notice that after a period of time, you guys may start to adorn one another's mannerisms. You may start to laugh similarly, or you may start to have similar taste in food or TV or what have you. And that is not happening by accident. It's not just a coincidence. The reason why that occurs is because of the fact that our brain has a primary job, which is to create congruency between our internal perception of reality and the external reality that we actually live. And so when we are engaging with other people, especially on a consistent basis, our brain is saying, okay, these people are a consistent aspect of our reality. So let's try to mirror that. Let's try to bring congruency so that we can survive and succeed in that external world. It's very much an evolutionary part of our brain that benefits us in many ways. But when it's hijacked by having negative people in our lives, having those people that are not conducive to us moving forward, having those people that we may have spent time with during our time of addiction. And so as a result, just interacting with them can kind of bring up subconscious urges and emotions and feelings that don't align with who we want to be. That can very much be a real thing that is detrimental to us on many levels. And once we realize that this is the case, we step into the state of saying, okay, I'm going to optimize my environment. I'm going to make sure that I'm around better people and, you know, those who feed where I want to go, those who feed my recovery and my emotional well-being. And so that's something that we very much understand. But here's the aspect of this whole concept that is often not talked about. And this is what I want you to hear, okay? Your brain does not know the difference between a real experience and an imagined experience. Now, I know that doesn't make sense right off the bat, but let me explain that with a little imagery for you, okay? Imagine you get cut off on the road. And that pisses you off. I mean, the person flips you the bird and they drive away all aggressively and it makes you mad. Now that happens within a matter of a few seconds. But 3 to 4 hours later, you think about that happening again. You think about that person cutting you off. You have this clear image in your head of what that looked like. And you get angry all over again. And the anger that you experience in that moment is the same at the time that it first occurred. And so it's as if it happened a second time. Well, as far as your mind is concerned, it did, because your brain doesn't know the difference. When it first happened to you, but also when you were thinking about it in your mind, to your brain, both of those experiences are exactly the same. And that is why they both manifested the same level of anger in you. You see what I'm saying? Now, allow me to apply that into the context of the topic at hand, talking about the people around us in our environment. In the same way that the people that are around us in our physical environment, think of them as the real experience, okay? But we also experience people in another way. We experience people when we watch TV. We experience people when we watch movies, when we watch videos on YouTube, when we listen to podcasts, even when we listen to music. In all of those ways, we're interacting with other people and other beings. So respectively, we're interacting with other messages. And we internalize those messages, and they ultimately become part of our own personality, part of our own persona on some level. We don't even realize how we're being molded by the things we engage with on a daily basis. So my question to you is simply this. Yes, the people that are in your physical vicinity mold your behavior and the way you think and feel, but how often are we intentional about the other messages and the other things that we're receiving via our music and the things that we watch? We're so often not even aware of what we're consuming, because a lot of times we listen to things or we watch things just because we're bored. I mean, how many times have you watched a TV show on TV that you don't even like that much, but you were just like, it's really the best thing that's on right now. I mean, it's during the summertime. They're not really coming out with a whole bunch of new series or anything, so I'm just gonna watch this. So often we're not intentional when we're watching things, we're consuming things. But the truth is, we're being programmed by those things in the same way that we're being programmed by the people around us. And when we identify that we used to be a certain way, that we used to have a strong association to a drug or a substance, and there is a whole network of emotions and memories and thoughts that are associated to those behaviors. You know, when we would use, think about the people you would hang out with. Think about the things that you did in your daily routine while you were in active addiction. All of those things are like a giant network in your mind that are associated to those drugs. So if you're engaging with those same types of things that aren't moving you forward, those same types of things that you were leaning into while you were drinking heavily or shoving a needle in your arm or whatever, all of those things are going to awaken your old cravings. They're going to awaken your old emotions. They're going to awaken your old way of being. And so without even knowing it, you're bringing yourself back to your old addicted self, your old self in active addiction, as opposed to moving yourself forward into a new version of yourself, a version of yourself that is defined by the things that you desire, that is defined by your goals and the new purpose that you have in life and the new relationships that you may want to cultivate, the new way of being and the new emotional management and the new emotional contentment that you may be experiencing inwardly. That's what we want to focus on. And that's also what we want to cultivate. You know, your life and the way that you're moving forward is like a garden. You want to cultivate the way that you ultimately want to be. And so if the things in your life, if the messages you're receiving from TV, from video, from books, what have you, if those messages are not aligning with the way you want to be, then there is a disparity in your life. There is a key element that is missing from your recovery, and that is that you do not have integration in all of your areas of life. You do not have integration with all of those different areas of life with your recovery. You want every single thing that you do on a consistent basis to be in alignment with the goal of long-term recovery on the mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual level. You really want that because it's necessary. And so the simple thing that I want to leave you guys with today is I want you to establish what I call a cyber tribe, okay? A cyber tribe is, I want you to pick 3 to 5 people that produce consistent content on whether it be life improvement or emotional management or high performance or psychology, or even if you have a particular skill or craft or interest that you have that those people create content on. I want you to listen to their content and absorb their content on a daily basis, whether it be YouTube videos, podcasts, articles that they may write, or books, or if maybe even if they're in a series or something, that'd be amazing if they're involved in a series like informative Netflix series or something like that. Whoever those people are, find where and what they produce content on, and I want you to follow them and spend just 1 hour a day consuming content that aligns with those things, with life improvement, with emotional management, with interests that you may have. And while that may seem like a minor thing, you will be amazed how it transforms your mind on the conscious and subconscious level, because your mind will begin to have an image of who you want to be, and it will begin to focus on that more often instead of focusing on the old you, quote unquote, or the things that you didn't want to be engaged with. And that also ends up creating a fantastic result, which is certain elements of your addiction or certain elements of your addictive behaviors, like, for example, getting those immense cravings, or whether you would get frustrated or angry, whatever, when you're having emotions suppressed, you will find that those old habits will start to fall away because you're no longer being identified with them. You're feeding yourself exactly how you want to be. If you want to have a certain body type, if you want to have a certain physique, you know, with lean body mass and burn all your fat and have a nice, you know, chiseled physique or a nice curvy physique for the women who may be listening, what do? You feed yourself the food that's conducive to looking that way. And so applying that to your life, if you want to be a certain way, who do you want to be? What are your goals? What is your purpose? What fulfills you? You want to feed yourself the things that are going to align with that new version of you. And that will very much manifest in your cravings being reduced largely when you commit to this long term. So no, this isn't a short-term thing where, okay, I'm just gonna listen to an hour a day for 2 or 3 days and then boom, I'm magically gonna be changed. No, you wanna have a long-term recovery, so this is a long-term solution, okay? But even if you just do this for a single week, you will be amazed at how it affects your emotional and mental state. That if you just absorb this information, you know, just some new content that you start to receive on a consistent basis from, you know, from your cyber tribe that I'm talking about, just 1 hour a day for a single week, it will blow your mind how it will help you to change. So, in closing, guys, We want to use every tool to empower ourselves during this COVID-19 quarantine. Many of us have been feeling lonely. Many of us have been feeling stressed and even depressed and different emotions that do not feel good, that don't align with the way we want to be. But if we start feeding ourselves the right messages and we're intentional about what we consume via our cyber tribe, it can give us immense power to sustain our recovery long term and to feel better and do better. You have just listened to the official podcast of United Recovery Project, the number one luxury rehab facility based in South Florida. If you or someone you know is looking for treatment or the ideal facility to enter rehab, we would love to be of assistance. You can call us at 866-680-8063. That's 866-680-8063. You can also find us on Facebook, United Recovery Project, or you can find us on Instagram at United_recovery. So check us out and like, share, and spread the word, guys, because we really appreciate when you help us to spread the messages of healing and recovery through this podcast. We love you and see you soon. United Recovery Project out.